Praise God. Well, Mrs. Collie is going to move around now, if she's not already doing so. She can't see us, so she must be moving somewhere. There is activities for sheets moving around for the kids, and they'll have activity sheets across the holiday period until they recommence again, although next week I think we'll have a DVD for them while we have our special meeting going on. I want you to turn to the book of Joshua this morning as we open the Word of God. You're in a dangerous position this morning because that clock, it says it's 7:15. It's not working, so I'll let you go home for dinner, I'm sure, tonight. It'll be fine. So Joshua chapter 1, and we just want to open the Word of God. So Father, as we open your Word, thank you, Lord, that you've already spoken to us, Lord, in many ways. But Lord, we open our hearts to what you say to us from the Scripture, Lord. Enlarge our spirits, enlarge our hearts, enlarge our understanding. And Father, let revelation come upon us as we open your Word this day. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I want to talk about a time to move. And this is a passage that you're going to be very familiar with, Joshua chapter 1. You've sung about it, you've sung all sorts of choruses, and every place in which your foot should move, be strong and courageous, and all those things. I want to have a look at this passage this morning, and I pray that God is going to speak to us through this. So let's have a look at Joshua chapter 1. I'll read the chapter. So if you've got a Bible, you can read it with me. I haven't got the whole chapter up on the screen. So let's read this. Verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1. So Joshua chapter 1. And verse 1 and the whole chapter. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea in the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. Just listen to that for a moment. All the days of your life, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to the forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives and your children, your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of all your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they have taken possession of the land that Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us to do, and wherever you send, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So I want to talk about a few aspects of this passage, because I really sense that for many of us here, and certainly as a church here, that this is a time for us to move, a time to move forward in the plans and the purposes of God. And it's interesting, when God starts talking, here right at the very beginning, it says, well, it tells us after the death of Moses, we know that he's died, and if you read Deuteronomy before that, in the last few chapters, as Moses is giving his farewell speech, he knows he's about to die, even though he's in perfect health, 120, Pastor John's very strong at 70 out there working. Well, he was 120, Moses, and completely strong, completely full of strength. Perfect eyesight, didn't have any glasses, which was good because I never had any then anyway. His eyes were strong, his body was strong, he was full of God, full of fervor, but he knew his time had come, and it was time for him to go and be with the Lord, and that's what exactly happened to him. So it starts off, and right at the very beginning, There's this word that says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And I just really pray that some of you today will have a Moses is dead moment this morning, that something will click within your own spirit, a Moses is dead moment, that there'll be a spirit of revelation that will come upon your own heart and your own life, that something will happen. Because this is a rather bizarre statement that God says to Moses right at the very beginning, Moses, my servant, is dead. Because Joshua and the children of Israel are not going, oh, he died, did he? We didn't know. Now, sometimes you hear of maybe a distant relative or a friend's friend or someone that passed away. You didn't know the circumstances. And, oh, that's a shame. That's terrible. That's bad. That person passed away. I heard a lady that I've known for about 20-odd years, she passed away suddenly. She was 80, 83 or something, but I've known her for many, many years. And, you know, I didn't know. It was very sudden. Didn't know she was sick. It was very quick. And she passed away. And you hear those things, and oh, that's a shame. But you didn't really know. But they knew full well with Moses was dead. They'd had 30 days of mourning for Moses. When Moses died, it tells us, if you look at Deuteronomy 34, just read, if it's over the page or on the same page, you just read up a little bit in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 8. It says, the Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. So that they knew that. For 30 days they went through the ritual mourning. Every day they didn't think, oh, and what are we doing this again? Maybe somebody's died. What is it? Oh, yeah, Moses. They knew Moses was dead. They were devastated. That was a huge loss for them to lose Moses, the one who God had used to bring them out of bondage, to bring them out of captivity, and he was dead. So there was no surprise to them that Moses was dead. Yet God had to say to them, Moses is dead. And sometimes what happens is that God needs to speak to us and a revelation needs to come. And sometimes we know something. You may know some things of God. You may know some things about what Jesus has done for you. You may know some things about, yes, I'm this in Christ and this is who I am. But sometimes there comes a time where there needs to be a revelation of the Spirit of God, which where you know is to be the fact, yes, I know that's true because the Bible says, but something happens where there's a revelation from God begins to speak and something begins to happen within your heart and your spirit. And I believe for some people today that God really wants to say Moses is dead, that you might know some things, but I want there to be a revelation from God within our hearts today, because it's time to move forward in our lives. And so there was this revelation that came, and he needed to hear that from God. And they knew that. They knew it. They were devastated by it. They had 30 days of mourning, but they needed God to say something in it. There was a revelation, and I pray for revelation to come upon our lives. Because maybe some people, where you're struggling with sin and areas of sin and repeated sin, and it just keeps coming back and plaguing you in your life, there needs to be a revelation of that, that actually you are dead to that sin. A revelation needs to come. Because you know that. The Word of God says, and we know that Jesus has covered our sin, that our old man has been put to death on the cross. We know all of that stuff. But there needs to be something that within your spirit that says, that part of me is dead. That is dead, that I am dead to sin. A revelation begins to come and begins to put off some of the old things that have hindered us and held us back. And so there's these words that Moses, my servant is dead. And he says, now get ready. Now then. So my servant is dead. Now then get ready. Because if you're going to move into what God has for you, we're coming to an end of the year. And as I said, when it gets from October to December, it's just gone, isn't it? It's a blink. Just think of all the big events that maybe you were gearing up to. And some of those things have already gone. We had an 80th birthday party. Someone was turning 80. You know, Muriel's father-in-law was turning 80. That was a big write-up. So what did I say? Father-in-law. Father. My father-in-law, Muriel's father, was turning 80. And so there's this big build-up and all of this stuff. And then bang, oh, it's happened. It's gone. It's history already. Already it's history. And so many things seem to go and accelerate. We're coming into a new year. And God has so much promise and potential for each and every one of us. And he's got a lot of potential and promise for us as a church. But there needs to be a time of revelation saying, yes, now is the time to move. That yes, now is the time. I've got to get ready. I've got to get ready now and cross into everything that God has for us. So now then, get ready. And I believe that God is saying that to us, to get ready for what he has for you. Now I want to talk about a little bit later what are some of the things that will hold people back from this passage. But God wants us to move forward. Just flip, Deuteronomy is just before Joshua. So let's have a quick look at Joshua, Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verses 6 to 8. I probably have that on the screen, but it may be a little small. So Deuteronomy 1 verses 6 to 8, let's just have a look at this. Because in the same way that Joshua had to have this revelation of after the morning and knowing the information, there had to be a revelation. See, there had to be the word from Moses. Moses was one who was sitting on a promise. And some of you know the promises of God. You've heard it all before. You know the promises of God. You know what God wants for your family. You know what God wants for your life. And you're thinking, well, when's it going to happen? Well, it won't happen until you're in a place where God is going to be able to say to you, time to get moving. And some people aren't ready for that, or they're not listening to that. But God is saying to you, time to move forward in your family. Time to move forward in your walk with God. Time to move. But in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 6, the Lord God said us to Horeb. This is Moses really recounting the journey. And it's really the end of this is Moses basically looking at all the pictures of his life, looking back across everything that's happened as the children have been brought out. And he chronicles the journey that they went through. And here they are upon this mountain. And he says, the Lord on Horeb, the Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you've stayed long enough on this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go into all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah and the mountains and the western foreholds and the Negev and along the coast to the land of the Canaanites and the Lebanon as far as the great river Euphrates. See, I've given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord you swore your fathers and all the descendants. And even Moses, he needed to have a moment where God spoke to him and said, come on, now's the time to get moving into all that I have for you. And I believe that's what God is saying for us as a church and for you as a person, for you as a family, that God is saying now is the time to move forward. Now, it begins to say, as he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. God stated the obvious, but it wasn't obvious. They needed a revelation. And sometimes you take things and think, oh, yeah, I know who I am in Christ. I know this, I know that. But you don't live like you know it. And you only know it when you live like you know it, those things. But he makes a promise to him here in verse 3. He says, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Every place of where I set your foot. Now I want to ask you, where are your feet at the moment? Now, if you look down, hopefully they're attached to your legs. They're there. But whereabouts are your feet? Because some people, that promise is true for every one of us. Every place on which I set your feet, I've given it to you. But whereabouts are your feet going? Whereabouts are your feet? See, some people, they put their feet in concrete. And they arrive at a time in their own spiritual walk, in their own development, in who they are, and even in the plans and purposes that God has for them, and actually get their feet and actually put their feet in concrete. Because now I am in a safe place. Now I am in a secure place. And they actually put their feet in concrete, and in fact, they're not going anywhere. They don't want to move. I'm comfortable where I am, thank you very much. I'm very happy with where I am. And please don't ask me to move forward anywhere because my feet are in concrete and this is where I am and this is what I want to stay. And the trouble with that is that God has destined us and has called us to be ones that are taking territory. God has called us to be ones that are expanding, that are growing in Him, growing in the potential and the promises that He has for our lives. But if we say, no, my feet are in concrete and I refuse to move forward, I refuse to go, then the very promises that God has for you as a person, has for your family, and even as a church, that then we're not going to move into what God has for us. A very dangerous place to be. God is, in the things of God, there really is only one way. You're either growing up in the things of God or you're going down. There's no really actually a spiritually plateau. Some people think, oh, I'm actually, you know, I've actually sort of stayed as I am. As I look across the year at my own spiritual walk and development, yeah, really, I'm probably where I was when I started. Well, you're not. You're not. No one plateaus in the things of God, really. I talk about concrete in terms of moving forward, but in terms of your spiritual walk, there's no such thing as a plateau. You're either growing in the things of God or you're sliding down, one or the other. You're either going up or you're going down. There's no in-between place. And whether we are growing up and going in forward in the purposes of God and taking the promises of God and being the person He wants us to be, or whether we're not, then we're walking back into bad habits and into compromise, into all bad attitudes and all these other things. We're slipping, we're going way, it's one way or the other. And God has destined us to be people that are taking ground in the Spirit. to take ground in the promises of God, to extend, to take territory. He wants every one of us to be growing in the plans and purposes of our lives. So where are your feet? Because some people look at others and say, they seem to be going really well. But all the problems I'm having, you know, it's not fair. That nothing seems to happen. Then they seem to be going forward. Everything goes, but look at me. I'm struggling and whatever else. Well, the difference is they've got their struggles too. They've still got their battles to fight. They've still got people in the promised land. They've still got their giants to subdue. They've still got every problem that you have. The difference is where someone's feet are. Because if your feet are slipping back a little bit, then all the problems and everything you have just become amplified and magnified. But if your feet is going forward, if you're stepping forward in the promises and the blessings of God and obeying His command and doing what God wants you to do, then you're going to grow and you will conquer. But if your feet aren't going forward, your feet are going backwards. So where are your feet? That's an important thing. Where you set your foot as I promise. Some people want to have one foot here in the promises of God and one foot in the world. But you try standing like that. You know, I can't do the split, so please don't ask me to do it. Maybe some of you... I've been in hospital, believe me, and emergency. But so I'm not even going to try. But just the pressure of doing that, you know. People do that, and they find they get stretched. I'm not going to do it. It's all right. Don't worry. Some people are interceding and praying for me already. But once you do that, you get totally off balance. But if you're totally foot and both, you can't go anywhere. You're not going anywhere. In fact, you're totally off balance in your life. And but some people want to do that. They want to go forward in the things of God. They want to do that, but at the same time, they want to compromise and still do what the world does and live like the world and have the world's values. But your foot's going one way. You're either going into the territory or you're going there. And if you're going like this all the time, your whole life is going to be out of balance. Take one step there, oh, step here, oh. You know, Scripture talks about a double-minded man who is unstable in all their ways. That's what James talks about. And so where is your foot? Are you trying to straddle the fence, if you like, trying to have your foot in every camp? It doesn't work. Some people, in terms of their foot, where is their foot most of the time? It's in their mouth. You know what I mean by that? It means that some people, if someone's got their foot in their mouth, it means they keep saying dumb things, stupid things. And actually, their own mouth actually is part of the thing that actually stops them from taking what God wants. God's got a plan and a purpose, and they just can't help themselves, and it has to spew out somewhere and somehow in some fashion, and the foot's in their mouth and they can't go forward because they don't control anger or they act in reaction or whatever else. But where's your foot? Because God's got a promise. He's got a promise for you. He's got a promise for your family. He's got a promise for the church. But whereabouts is your foot? Is your foot in the right place? Because as I said, you're only going up or you're going down. There's no plateau in God. You're growing or you're going down. Which one? Where are we? What is our heart like? So where is our foot? The encouragement to Joshua and the encouragement to us is just look, what is past, let that be past. What is dead, let it be dead. Moses was good. He was great. He led them out of captivity. But all of those things, and so God says, no, I want to do something new in you, and I want you to put your foot, and I want to go forward. The life of sin that you had, well, that's dead. That's dead now. I don't want you to live in that anymore. I want you to go now forward in the things of God. That is how the Lord is encouraging us. He wants us to come into the inheritance that He has for us. And I want to talk about that because some people struggle with their inheritance of God, and they may know some of the things that God has for them. They know that God wants them to have a strong marriage. He wants them to have a strong family. He knows that God wants to bless them. That they're not supposed to be the tail. They're supposed to be the head. They're always supposed to be struggling and struggle in that. Now just remember, as I said, in the promised land there's giants still. There's still battles, there's still struggles, there's still fights to be had. Walking in God's plan and promise does not exempt you from knocking a few giants every now and again. Who will have a go at you in problems and circumstance? But you overcome because you're children of the promise, you're walking in victory, and you overcome because you know who you are, you know what Christ has done in you, and we take what God has for us. But some people struggle with coming into their inheritance. I want to talk briefly about this phrase about be strong and courageous. I'll tell you what, if I was Joshua, I think I'd start to, if I didn't already have a complex about being strong and courageous, after all this encouragement to be strong and courageous, I begin to wonder maybe that I wasn't. Because when God himself is saying this to Joshua, be strong and courageous, says it three times to him, and then all the people say, Joshua, be strong and courageous. It's not the first time that it's been said to Joshua. If you have a look at Deuteronomy 31. Just flip back a couple of pages. I'm not sure if I got that up there, Josh. If it'll come up there. If it doesn't come up there, I haven't got it. Deuteronomy 31, verses 7 and 8. I don't think I put it there, so that's okay. Deuteronomy 31, verses 7 and 8. So remember, in Joshua 1, God says it to him, be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous. Tells him to be strong and courageous. And the people say, just be strong and courageous. Well, he's already heard all this before. Moses actually says to him, this is in Deuteronomy 31, where this is Moses knowing that his time's up, knowing he's going to be with the Lord, knowing he's going to look at the promised land but never inherit, walk into that inheritance. He knows all of those things. And then saw the promised land, didn't actually walk in it. But Deuteronomy 31, he says, I'll start at verse 1, what the heck. The Moses went out and spoke these words to Israel, I'm now 120 years old and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross ahead of you. He will destroy the nations before you and he will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Seo and Og and the kings of the Amorites whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you to do. Be strong and courageous, so this is to all the people. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him personally in the presence of all of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with his people into the land the Lord has sworn to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So he's already had it then. And then Moses is dead. And what happens again? The first thing, be strong and be very courageous. And the reason is, as I said, if Joshua wasn't a little bit wondering about it, well, God obviously had a message to him. And I think God has got a message to us in that, about being strong and being courageous. Because it does, to move into to something new, to move into what God has for you, you know, it being comfortable is very comfortable. Now, I know that Pastor Pat, I haven't actually heard that message yet, but I know it was an awesome, impacting message from all that I've heard on Sunday about change. And being where we are and all of those things, being comfortable is very comfortable. That's why it's called comfortable, because it is. And who wants to be uncomfortable? Sometimes change can be a little bit uncomfortable, but the price of being uncomfortable for a while is far outweighed by the benefit of working into what God has for us. And so we have constant reminders to Joshua to be strong and be courageous. And the three times that God says this to Joshua, there's three things that he's trying to getting to understand. And if we don't understand these three things, we fall into these traps, then we will not be able to come into everything that God wants us to walk in. We know it's all sealed in Christ. The work of the cross is finished. There's an inheritance all in store for us. But whether we walk in the reality of that every day depends on where our feet are, but also this area of being strong and courageous. And so let's have a look at the first time where he tells him to be strong and courageous. And it's verse 6. It says, be strong and courageous because the Lord will lead you, will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. And it talks in verse 4, it's talking about the division of the land. So the context of that first, be strong and courageous, that first exhortation that he has there is in context of the division of the land. And as we already saw in Deuteronomy when we read that passage as well, he says you're going to have to work out how it's all going to work, how the land is to be divided up, and therefore be strong and courageous in that process. And I really believe what he's saying is that it's just be very careful of being competitive in that area, because if we have a competitive heart or a competitive spirit, that will actually stop us coming into everything that God wants us to actually apprehend and walk in. And by competitive spirit, I mean, if they were jostling over, well, this bit of land, no, we want this bit of land, no, I want to do this, no, I want to be that, I want to, and fighting over all of those kind of things, God said, no, I've apportioned the land, I've set the boundaries in place, you lot are there, you lot do that, you do that, and all of those things there. But if we start to try to take someone else's territory, it will actually stop. And by that is when you start even comparing yourself to other people. You start making comparisons with other people and saying, oh, why aren't I like them? Well, you know, why is my husband not like them? Why is my family not like them? Or why is this situation? You know, if you start making comparisons with other people or even trying to be other people rather than being the person that you are. You're going to struggle with trying to come into your inheritance. And so I believe God is saying to Joshua, but even God is saying to us, is just be who I've called you to be. Don't try to be anyone else. Just be the person that I've made you to be. And if you are the very person that I've made you to be, then you're going to come in to the inheritance and the blessing and the promise that I have for you and that I have for your family. Don't try to be anyone else. Don't worry about their territory or being like them or whatever. You be who I've called you to be. And I believe that was part of that exhortation to Joshua. Look, you just be who you are. Because imagine being the predecessor to Moses. Can you imagine that? Imagine trying to fill Moses' shoes. Can you imagine can you just imagine trying to do that? Moses, he gets his staff and bang, the waters all passed and all these miracles and all this sort of stuff. And he got little Joshua, who's his little assistant, little water boy running around behind him and helping him and just being his aid, trying to do whatever he could to help him. All of a sudden, Joshua is now in that position. Now he's been groomed, he's been anointed and appointed for that position. But it's a pretty scary place to be. And so he needed that. But Joshua had to just to be the person he was. You need to be the person who God wants you to be. And start. Don't look at other people. Don't look at their territory and say, gee whiz, they've got the nice valley. Gee, I wish I had the nice valley. No, God has ordained the breakup of the land. You just be who God has called you to be. You do what God has called you to do. And then you do that, you will come into every inheritance and blessing that God has had. And he gives them another one to about being strong and courageous. Verse 7, he says, be strong and very courageous. He says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. And the other thing that will stop us really walking in our inheritance is being distracted by things. Distracted by things, being diverted. There's a path, there's a plan, and other things that will cause us to sidestep out of God's plan and purpose for our life. And those things rob us from the promise, from the inheritance, from the potential, from the blessing, all the things that God has for us. And he's saying, don't let anything distract you. So many things in this world to distract us. So many things. And they're not all bad things. Bad things can distract us for sure. Good things can also distract you as well. You can get caught up in a whole lot of good stuff, which is good stuff, but it's not the good stuff that God wants you to be doing. Therefore, it is a distraction. We look at sinful areas and other areas and we say, oh, clearly, you know, that's going to divert me and take me off what God wants me to do. But there's a whole lot of good stuff too that you can get involved in. You can become a slave to your family, that your family actually runs every part of your life. Your children can run every part of your life. That's not God's plan either. He wants you to go forward in the promises of God and to lead them, but you don't become a slave to any man in that sense. So good things can become a distraction and diversion to us. And so we need to say, Lord, I'm not going to be diverted from your word, from your way, from the course that you have set before my life, Lord. And I'm going to walk in that. I'm going to walk in that. I'm not going to be distracted. And that's part of the course that God has. He says, it's time to move in your own heart, but don't let anyone or anything distract you. And the final time that God himself says there, in verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Do not be discouraged. And one of the things that really stops people moving forward into what God has before them is they come discouraged. Things happen, life happens to them in a way they never expected life to happen to them. And things can hit us from all way, unexpected ways. We have expectations, we have hopes and dreams, and sometimes the things don't happen when we think they're going to happen, or maybe it doesn't happen how we thought it was going to happen. And maybe unexpected things happen and we can get discouraged, and discouragement robs people of coming into what God has for them. It's one of the two areas that the devil uses. The devil has two main weapons in his arsenal. He's the father of all lies. And he lies in areas of division and discouragement. The two things, he's the father of lies. So lying is his deal. But he'll lie in division, but he'll also lie in discouragement. And discouragement is the thing. People think, oh, it's too hard. They get overwhelmed in their emotions. And God's got promise. He's got inheritance. He's got blessing. But discouragement grips them. And some people can't move forward because of that. And the encouragement is saying, no, you be who I called you to be. You stand in the promises of God and you do not be robbed by discouragement. So that when disappointment faces you, and every one of us will face disappointment in life, every one of us faces disappointment in life. What do we do with the disappointment is whether we face that with courage or not. Do we face it with courage? Because he's saying to Joshua, he's saying, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. So why is he saying do not be terrified? If you weren't going to face any terrors, no one needs to tell you not to be terrified. If all's roses and everything's lovely and all's skipping with daisies and everything's beautiful, no one needs to say, oh, don't be terrified. Watch out, you might stub your toe on a flower. He's saying don't be terrified. It means you're going to be facing terrors. You're going to be facing some things that when you come against them, they may look like this thing is going to overwhelm me. This may look like this thing could possibly push me back and defeat me. But he's saying don't be terrified because you stand in the promise of God. You be strong and you be courageous. Don't be discouraged because you will face disappointments. Every one of us faces disappointments. But what do we do with the disappointment? Sometimes people will hurt us. Sometimes people will disappoint us. But we're not governed by other people. You cannot live your life in response to what other people are or what they have or have not done. You've got to be strong and courageous. If someone lets you down, it could be a close friend, it could be a relative, it could be a brother and sister physically, it could be a brother and sister in Christ, it could be anybody. But when somebody disappoints you, no, you just say, no, I'm not going to let that rob me of what God has called for me and my house, my family, in the things of God, and we move forward into the promises of God. But some people get discouraged, and if you have discouragement upon your heart today, I just pray God wants to break you out of that, lift that off you. It's because it's not who you are. You're a son and a daughter of the living God. You have a promise of God upon your life. And the thing that he reminds him when he talks about be strong and courageous, don't be terrified, don't be discouraged. Why do you not walk in terror of all the unknowns, what could possibly happen? Why do we walk in strength and not be overwhelmed by disappointment, which will happen to us? It's because God is with us. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And if you take a step saying, I'm taking a step here. Okay, this may be new territory for me. And I'm not really quite sure. And there's probably going to be some terrors there. And there's probably going to be some disappointments along the way. Maybe it's better to stay where I am. Well, if you stay where you are, you're actually going to slip back. You will actually slip. You'll end up slipping back. But God is saying, no, I want you to take the step into what I have for you. I don't want you to be terrified because I'm with you. I don't want you to be discouraged because I'm with you. And you know that God is with you. And you have that revelation that Moses may be dead, but Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Moses is dead, but Jesus is alive. And he lives in me and he lives in my heart. And therefore, I can go forward in the plans and the promises of God for my life. And yes, I may have to face some terrors, and I may suffer some disappointments, but I'm not going to be discouraged. Why? Because God is with me. And if you're in a place of discouragement today, you've forgotten the fundamental, most important thing in your life, that God is with me. And so we can maybe have a disappointment, but we cannot live in discouragement. Because if you're living in discouragement, you forgot that God is with you. And if you're just staying where you are and not wanting to go forward or too scared, then you've forgotten that God is with you and there's a promise and inheritance for us. I love that verse where he says in Joshua 1:5, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, when Christ ascended, when he was risen from the dead, the victorious conquering Christ, he said to them, he says, though I'm with you always to the end of the age. He's with me always. How can I be too scared to walk into what God has for me when God is with me? How can I be overwhelmed by my circumstances? How can I be afraid to move forward, to embrace whatever changes or whatever movement that God is bringing into my heart and my life when I know that God is with me? And then Matthew 1:23, we're coming to Christmas very soon. You wake up one morning and it's going to be Christmas Day. And where did that week go? It's just gone, 11 days or whatever, as the kids told me. It's 11 days, they're counting it down. I think it was 11 was the last update. The passage in Matthew 1:23, this is when the angel is declaring, it says, the virgin will be with child, and this is quoting Isaiah, I think Isaiah 7. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And even Christmas, everything about Christmas is to remind us that God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Everything about this season, some people struggle because it reminds them of some pain. Maybe they lost a loved one around this time. And so for some people it can be hard. Maybe there's something that happened, a difficulty that this, as they get to this time of the year, you may have that remembering, but what you hold on to most of all, this is about God with us. God is with us. He's with us. And what an amazing gift that is to have God with us. And as I said, Christ saying, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So I believe that God wants something to happen in hearts today. God wants to say, there's something I want to realize, and Moses is dead. That there's some things that you need to let go in your life. Some things you need to leave it behind. Well, that's done now. That's finished. That's complete. Whether it's an area of sin and compromise, or maybe you started, your feet have been vacillating, your feet have been going in the wrong direction. God said, no, it's time to walk in what I have for you now. And you need to move forward. You need to move forward in that. And don't allow a competitiveness to stop that. You're comparing yourself. Oh, I wish I was like them, or this or that, or I want to do this territory. No, God set all the boundaries. And so we be who we are and we walk in what God has for us. And so we have a heart to move forward. We're not terrified. We're not overwhelmed. We don't walk in discouragement. We're not fearful of what God has for us. Let's stand to our feet. I want to pray today. I want to pray that God will encourage you, because now's the time to move. We're coming into a new year. And I believe God is saying, come on, now's the time. Now is the time to move forward into all that I have for you. So, Father, as we stand here, in the name and under the authority of the risen Christ, Lord, we stand here as people, Lord, that are under covenant promise. Lord, promise that is fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. We stand today, Lord, as people that know that God is with us. God is with us. And more than that, that Christ is in us. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you never leave us or you forsake us, Lord. And where we face, Lord, moving forward in you, Lord, yes, there may be some terrors, but Lord, we will overcome them because you're with us. There may be disappointments, but we will not be discouraged, Lord, because you are with us, Lord. That we move forward in boldness, we move forward in courage, Lord, because we are the people of God. Lord, anyone that is feeling any discouragement upon their spirit now, Lord, we just see that broken now in the name of Jesus Christ. Let there be a revelation this day of who you are, that God is with me. I am not discouraged. I will not be overcome. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name. Lord, now is the time to move. Lord, that we cannot have our feet in concrete, Lord. We cannot have our feet going one way doing the splits, Lord. We cannot be sliding back, Lord. But there's one path. There's a way forward in God, and that's a place of promise. Lord, it's a place of blessing. Lord, it's a place of destiny. It's a place of everything that you have for us. So, Lord, I pray. Lord, let there be a revelation, Lord, that there's a cutting off of what was. Moses is dead, whether it's habits from the past, whether it's old things, even good things, Lord, that even good old Moses, Lord, but he was gone. Father, there's a new time, a new day, Lord. You want us to move forward. And so, Father, I pray that you stir every heart, every person, Lord, that they're ready, Lord. They're ready to move, ready to walk, ready to go forward in all that you have for them. And, Lord, as a person, as a family, Lord, even as a church, everything that you have for us. And so, Lord, we stand as people that are called under the name of Jesus Christ. So we thank you for your goodness. And, Lord, we just pray, Lord, I pray that you bless every person here tonight. Father, even as we gather tonight, Lord, as Pastor John shares, Lord, an anointed word in you, Father, I pray, Lord, that just be a mighty encounter with God tonight. Lord, let tonight be a time where we encounter mightily the presence of God. Lord, let your word go forth powerfully tonight, Lord, with a now word, Lord, that you've appointed for us at this time. But, Father, I pray that you bless your people in your mighty, wonderful name. Amen.